Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you that it is good. We thank you that through it we know you, and we know what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. I pray that you will be with me now. I pray that you'll give me your Spirit, and that through your Spirit I might say what you want to say, and that all of us might hear you clearly and be changed by you. Amen. All right, so I think when people often talk about, think about youth ministry, like what comes to their mind is that it's about, first of all, it's about games. Like youth ministry is games. You hang out on a Friday night and you play heaps of games. And for me, having done youth ministry since I was 18, and usually in a paid capacity, it's been really great. And I've played a lot of games. The best game that I ever remember from youth group was actually when I was in youth group and we played a game called Fireball. And what would happen is you got a bunch of socks and then you would cover the socks in chicken wire and then you would put some old t-shirts over the chicken wire and then you put some more chicken wire on and then you put like some more old t-shirts over it and then maybe some more chicken wire and then some more old t-shirt until you had a ball about this big of fabric and chicken wire. And then you would put it in a bucket of kerosene and soak it there for a day. And then you would take that bucket down to an oval and then you would light it and then you'd kick it around. It was so much fun. Like you kick it and it would fly through the air and there'd be this trail of fire behind it. It was really good until it started falling apart and then people's feet and then legs started catching on fire and then we started a grass fire and that was bad. But otherwise, it was super fun. But you can't play that game in youth ministry anymore, sadly, because of all these like child protection ideas. And somehow people don't like teenagers getting burnt faces anymore. So, you know, we had to change. But, you know, you have a whole bunch of other games that you can still get to play, which are heaps of fun. Like, I still enjoy playing games where, you know, you get to run around and change chairs and then piggyback people. And then, you know, like, I like going on trips to Pizza Hut, which is the next thing that people think about with youth ministry. It's food. You go to Pizza Hut and then you just fill yourself up on food, or you order Pizza Hut to come to you and then you fill yourself up on food. And then when youth group finishes, because there's nothing else open, you go out to McDonald's and you just pretty much exist on this life of pizza and McDonald's, which is why all youth ministers die at about the age of 34. It's really sad. But, you know, like, so we think about games, we think about, you know, fun, food, and then, you know, people often just think about all the other dumb stuff you do. And it's really like you are, in youth ministry, you are the jesters of the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about. But when we look at what youth ministry is actually about, or any type of Christian leadership, it's not about just having fun and just eating food, even though they are great things, but they are all in service of something greater. And so as we look at this passage, we see that what you are doing when you are in any type of ministry is that you are a dealer in mysteries. And that's nothing to do with, like, you know, illegal dealing of anything. But you are working with the mysteries of God. And it sounds pretty great to be doing that. But we know that this is what it is, because this is what it's talking about in this passage. This is what Paul says about the mystery. He says, "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And when we hear the word mystery, I don't know what you think about, but I think about, you know, like Sherlock Holmes. That's what I think about. Partly because at the moment, Sherlock Holmes is very, very popular. There's, you know, the Sherlock Holmes movies. There's the BBC show of Sherlock, which you watch if you're a little bit cooler than the people who just watch the movies, because, you know, it's British, so you're a little bit more hip. But what I've decided to do is I'm going to read the books, because that's even more hip to read books. And so I read the books with my hipster glasses on, and I've been reading this, the Mysteries of Sherlock Holmes, which is a lot of different short stories about him. And what seems to happen always is that someone comes to Sherlock and is like, "Sherlock, we've got this problem." And so he's like, "Oh, we better figure it out." And him and Watson head off somewhere and they check it out, and then no one can figure out what's going on. And there's this story about, say, maybe a woman who's had her jewels stolen. And then they think it's some, you know, the butler. And then Sherlock says, "No, it's not the butler. It was the woman." And then Watson's like, "How can you tell?" And he's like, "Well, I can tell by the hem of her dress that she's not actually a woman, but she's a man dressed as a dog, dressed as a woman." And you're like, "Wow, you found all that out from the hem of the dress?" And you're like, "Yes." And it's this revealing of this mystery that you cannot figure it out unless you've got all this great knowledge. And sometimes we think that with, you know, this mystery that is talked about in the Bible, that maybe there's this mystery of God that we can't figure out unless someone special reveals it to us. Unless there's some great speaker and great Bible teacher, that someone can give us the mystery of God, that maybe we have to have this wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit and then we will know the mystery of God. But the way mystery works in the Bible is quite different. It's a lot less like Sherlock Holmes and a lot more like Star Wars. Yes, it's true. And let me show you how that works. See, Star Wars is a very important series of movies, which I love because I love movies. They're pretty good, but I love them because they're so important to movie history. And so I watch them and enjoy them. And they're always there with these three episodes. So episodes 4, episodes 5, and episode 6. And we had them for a while. And then everyone knew, though, there were actually 9 episodes. But we didn't know what was happening in the other 6 episodes until one day in the 90s, there was an announcement that George Lucas was making the first 3 episodes. And we were going to find out what was going to happen in the Star Wars universe, like how Darth Vader came to be and all of that stuff. And so we were waiting, we were really excited. And then finally, it came out in the late 90s. We gathered together to watch and we discovered the mystery of what the Star Wars universe is all about, where it came from, and who knew that Darth Vader was actually an annoying little kid? And who knew that there was this guy called Jar Jar Binks who everyone wanted to kill, and that the Force is not some mystery, it's mitochondrions living your, they're just like bacteria. And it's very disappointing for everyone that George Lucas revealed to us the mystery of what was going on. But the only way we could know what was going on was if George, the great creator of Star Wars, could reveal it to us. And what's happening with the mystery here is that there's been this mystery of God about what God is going to do to save the world, and that God is going to send his Messiah and somehow he's going to redeem his people, and the children of God are going to become part of God's great plan for salvation. Everyone had their ideas about what was going to happen, but they couldn't figure it out on their own until God revealed it himself. And it was only because God revealed it that they could see, and then they saw. And they saw that the mystery of God was revealed in his son Jesus. And that Jesus is God who has come to live on earth, and no one could have figured that out until it actually happened. And that God saved his people not through military conquest or some great political movement, but through a man who was a homeless preacher, who was put on a cross and who died. And that through his death that God's people were saved. And that because he took the punishment of God upon himself, that we can be forgiven. And that the world is changed when he comes back to life because we know that death is beaten. And that's the great mystery of God. And it's not some mystery that we can't figure out, but that we can see it clearly now because it's been revealed to us in God's son, Jesus. Because God has chosen to reveal it. We don't need any great preachers or any smart people to do it for us. It's all given to us in Jesus, shown to us through the Bible and revealed through the Holy Spirit. And when you are in any kind of ministry, you are a dealer in this mystery. That you show this mystery to the world. That your job is to make sure that people everywhere know about what God has done in his son Jesus. And so when you play those games, the question is, how does this serve the mystery? And when you eat, you know, stupid foods, you think, how does this serve the mystery? And when you meet up with young people one-on-one, you say, how does this serve the mystery? And when you teach the Bible, you ask, how does this serve the mystery? How does this show what has already been revealed to us in Jesus Christ? And when you're in youth ministry, your job is to make sure that young people meet Jesus, that they see that mystery of Jesus revealed. Because they can't just sit down on their own and figure it out. They need to see what God has revealed. That you can't just sit down and go, oh, I'm just going to think about what God has done. Think about the fact that there is a God and what he would do. Because if you did that, you would not figure out the fact that he would come as a man and die on the cross for you. I have enough trouble myself figuring out who the 5 different people in One Direction are, let alone figuring out, you know, what God could do in his son Jesus. So I need to see the mystery given to me in his word. And so everything we do serves that purpose, to help people to see the mystery revealed to us in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So the next thing is then, if you are a servant of this, if you are all about making sure that people understand this mystery, then the promise that Paul gives us is that you will suffer. And that leadership will mean suffering. We see at the beginning of the passage, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." And Paul, at this point in the book of Colossians, he's writing to the Colossians and he is in prison. And he's suffering because he's been telling people about Jesus. And when we hear this phrase where it says, "I fill up in myself what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions," we might say, "Oh, is Paul being biblical there? Because I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that when he died on the cross, then that was enough for me to be forgiven. Then he came back to life to show that it was finished and everything was done, and we were saved, and there was nothing more that Christ needed to do. He died once and for all. So there's nothing that needs to be added to Christ's afflictions." But then Paul here in the Bible is being very unbiblical by saying that there is still more that needs to be added to Christ's afflictions. If any of you have that problem, then that's okay, because I had it too. But what seems to be going on here is that what Paul is saying is that not that, you know, anything needs to be added to Jesus' death, and that when we suffer, we make sure that, you know, Jesus' death is a little bit more powerful. But then when Christ suffers, he suffers with the church. Because when the church suffers, that hurts Jesus, because it's his body. And that when the gospel goes out, when people talk about what Jesus is doing, there will be suffering, because we don't do it in a neutral environment. That there are forces that are hostile to the gospel, and they will always work against the proclamation of this mystery. And so that there will be a certain amount of suffering that will happen to God's people as they talk about what God has done. And so what is lacking in Christ's afflictions is what is lacking until everyone has had the chance to hear about Jesus. There is still a certain amount of suffering that the church will go through and Christ will go through his people, until that point where everyone has had the chance to hear about Jesus. And so Paul is suffering to fill up in himself until that time that everyone knows. And so you too, when you lead people to Jesus, you will suffer as well. And you probably won't suffer the way Paul will suffer. You probably will not get put into prison, but you will suffer. I have suffered in ministry. For one, I will tell you about a particularly horrendous story for me, as I went on camp with Belrose Uniting Youth once, and we did some sock wrestling. And this finger, I think I broke it doing sock wrestling. And for days, it was swollen. And then for weeks, it hurt. And then for years, if I ever touched it in the wrong way, it still hurt. I suffered. And my finger might be deformed. I may never be able to get a wedding band on my finger. I will be single for the rest of my life because of Belrose Uniting Church. I have suffered for the gospel. So maybe that's not the greatest amount of suffering that has happened to me. But, you know, you do notice that in youth ministry, there is often blood and there are broken bones, and I've lost a tooth and I'd get a new one, which is great. Thank you, Work Cover. But there's more that happens than that. That there's greater suffering when there are the kids that you meet them and they don't know Jesus. And then they come and they spend time at youth group and they hear about this mystery of Jesus and they realize what God has done for them. And they get so excited and they say, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." And so then their life starts to change. And you spend time working with them and talking to them and praying with them and leading them in Bible studies. And you see that they're starting to live out their faith at school, and it changes what they are doing. And then you see how they're growing and changing in Christ, until at some point they decide that it's too much for them. And they don't want to do it anymore. And this person who you have invested in, that you've given up your life for, to some extent, that they are turning their back on this thing that you love and this thing which you have poured your love into, and they say, "Oh, it doesn't matter to me anymore," and they leave, and that hurts. And you will see the joy of people coming to know Jesus, but you'll also see the pain of people walking away. that when you are a leader for Christ, it will hurt. And when you want to stand up for the gospel, when you want to say, I believe in the word of God, then that will cause you to make enemies. That I have had friends turn against me because I've had to call sin, sin, and not just a lifestyle choice. That it will cause you pain. You will suffer. But when we suffer, we remember that Christ suffers with us. We remember that Christ has suffered for us. And we remember that suffering is inevitable when we are doing the good work of revealing the mystery of God. And so we can rejoice because we know that good things are happening. Not because suffering in itself is great. You don't go and smash yourself in the head with a hammer and say, praise Jesus. But you praise Jesus because you are doing his work and that you are suffering for him. And you rejoice because you know that he is suffering with you and that one day he will come back and put everything right and everyone will know who he is. You will suffer, but it is worth it. And then finally, if you are a dealer in the mystery of God, you will proclaim it to everyone. The suffering that Paul went through, a lot of it happened because of this truth that was found out that the gospel is not just for God's people, not just for the Jews, but for everybody. That Jews and Gentiles, that everyone can know Jesus. And for all of us here who are not Jewish, then we have to be rejoicing that God has decided to save us. And Paul went through so much because he wanted to say that God's message is for everyone. And this is what he is talking about. When he talks about in verse 27, he says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our job as people who are revealing the mystery of God is to reveal it to everyone. And, you know, we'd love to be people who hold on to these special things which are just ours. You know that I've talked a lot about movies. I'm going to do it again. June last year, I went to the Sydney Film Festival and I went to a whole bunch of films. There was one there that I saw, which was Moonrise Kingdom. Who has seen Moonrise Kingdom? A few of you have. It's a pretty great film. It's made by Wes Anderson, who he just makes these quirky films of dysfunctional families with, you know, all these magical colours. And it's a really, you know, it's really, they're lovely films and, you know, really enjoyable and really popular, particularly amongst the hipster crowd. And so when I went, there was a whole bunch of people in cardigans and, just, you know, black square glasses and, you know, buttons done up to their necks. And there was probably about 800 of us in the cinema. It was really exciting, but we were watching it about 3 months before it came out anywhere else. And so I was like, man, there's this great moment here where I have something that, you know, most people don't have. There are all these people in Australia who do not get to see this film. And I have this film and I get to watch it. And I saw all these people sharing on Facebook saying, oh, I can't wait till Moonrise Kingdom comes out. And I looked at them and went, oh, you noobs. I've seen that film. I know it's awesome. And you can only dream about how awesome it is. And then eventually people started writing on Facebook, oh, you should definitely see Moonrise Kingdom. It's great. And then a little bit of me died because I was not special anymore. There were people who had seen this film and, you know, they loved it too. And I couldn't hold on to it for myself. And now, you know, it's been out at the movies. You can hire it. Anybody can hire it. You don't have to be cool like me. You could be anyone. You could be my mom and hire it. No, I love my mom. She's very cool. But I don't want to, you know, watching the same things that I do, because then I'm just as cool as my mum, and that's not cool. But what happens is, you know, we have these things that we want to hold on to because they're special. At work just a few days ago, you know, we were talking about the Harlem Shake. For those of you who know it, for those of you who don't worry about it. It's just this dance that's happening on YouTube at the moment. And my workmate was like, I discovered the Harlem Shake on Monday. When did you discover it, Tom? I was like, Thursday. I was very upset that I discovered it late. And he was so happy because he had this thing which other people didn't know about. What we love to do is to hold on to things for ourselves because it makes us special. And the mystery of Christ is something that we sometimes want to hold on to for ourselves. And we talk about the fact that we're like, yes, everyone needs to know about Jesus, but then we don't tell everyone about Jesus. And we see these people in our lives and we're like, oh, I don't know if I should share Jesus with them. And then sometimes I have felt, you know, at youth group, this kid will turn up and I'll look at them and I'm like, they look like trouble. I hope they don't come back. Because I want an easy youth group. I want kids who are going to behave and who aren't going to ask me difficult questions and aren't going to smash things and aren't going to set things on fire and aren't going to be, you know, asking me, you know, whether or not it's okay to sell drugs at youth group and stuff like that. I want the church kids. But one of the great joys for me actually is discovering that the more people that know about Jesus, the more exciting it is. And then one of the great things about leading the youth group at my last church was that we had a group that was diverse, that all sorts of kids were there, that we had the Christian kids who knew all the answers and the ones that we had to say, okay, you can't answer this question now because we know you know the right answer. You need to let other people have a go. So the kids who were, you know, born in Muslim families and had no idea what was going on, or the Hindu kids, or the kids who come from families that are together, the kids who come from families that have split up, and the kids who have, you know, five brothers and sisters and all of them have different dads. That we had this youth group that was a whole bunch of kids of all different ages who would never spend time together except because they were gathered around the mystery of God in Jesus. And some of them knew Jesus and some of them didn't, and some of them were somewhere in between. But the excitement was that all these people were discovering who Jesus was. And our job as people who are revealing the mystery of God is to make sure that all people can know it. To make sure that our life is about giving people the chance to know about Jesus. That where we live is not about making us comfortable, but about putting us in a place where we have people around us who can meet Jesus. That where we work is not just about, you know, having somewhere where we work, which is a good job, which can advance our career, but we work there so that we can reveal the mystery of Christ to people better. That when we do ministries at church or outside of church, we do it so that people can know the mystery of Christ. That you should have a church that is full of different kinds of people. A church service where there are people who know Jesus and people who don't. It's not just a club for the initiated. A youth group where people know Jesus and people who don't. Because we reveal the mystery of Christ to all people. And we do it because we remember that Christ himself has saved us. That we were people who were totally undeserving of knowing this mystery. Totally undeserving of being saved. Totally undeserving of being brought into God's kingdom. But he sought us out and he saved us through Christ. That we don't deserve to be in the inner circle, but we are. And so because we are totally undeserving, then we can bring other people in who are also totally undeserving. We live because of this mystery, that God has come to us in Jesus, has died and risen again so that we can be set free. Christ in us is the hope of glory. That is the mystery, and we share it with everyone. That's what leadership is about. That's what being a Christian is about. How about I pray for us? Lord God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for this mystery that you have revealed to us in him, that we needed you to reveal it and you have, that we are saved because of what you have done, that we are now given the awesome task of making this mystery known. I pray that when we suffer, that we will suffer because we are letting people know about you, and that when we suffer, we will rejoice. Because we are doing the good work of your kingdom. I pray that we'll be people who live to let people know about you. I pray that we'll be people who let all people know about you. Who don't hold on to this mystery for ourselves, but we share it with everyone. Because we know that it was shared with us when we were undeserving. I thank you, God, that you let us join you. I pray that you will give us your spirit and empower us to do it. Wherever we are. Amen.